The bittersweet feeling that my family has. Relief that Otto is now home in the arms of those who love him.
The condition of a freed American raises questions about North Korea. It's Friday, June 16th. Welcome, this is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Check us out online at VOA Asia Facebook. Also ahead, alarm over Chinese demand for donkeys. Social issues raised from viral video. Pollution is up in Thailand. Sugary drinks and lighter cars. It all comes your way right now on VOA Asia. North Korea on Thursday said it released American student Otto Warmbier on Wednesday on humanitarian grounds. The 22-year-old University of Virginia student was medically evacuated from Pyongyang, accompanied by U.S. Special Envoy on North Korea Policy, Joseph Yoon. Warmbier, accused of trying to steal a propaganda poster, was detained in January 2016. After a March trial, he was sentenced to 15 years hard labor. His father, Fred Warmbier, told Fox News late Wednesday his son had been terrorized and brutalized.
I would like to highlight this morning the bittersweet feeling that my family has. Relief that Otto is now home in the arms of those who love him. And anger that he was so brutally treated for so long. We went for 15 months without a word from or about Otto. It was only a week ago that we were informed that the North Korean government now claims he was in a coma for almost all of that time.
Dr. Daniel Cantor at the University of Cincinnati, where Warmbier is being treated, and he said he suffered damage to all parts of his brain.
His neurological condition can be best described as a state of unresponsive wakefulness. He has spontaneous eye opening and blinking. However, he shows no signs of understanding language, responding to verbal commands, or awareness of his surroundings. He has not spoken. He has not engaged in any purposeful movements or behaviors.
Meanwhile, U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson told U.S. lawmakers Wednesday, China is the key to curbing Pyongyang's nuclear and missile programs. He called on China to crack down on several of its entities suspected of doing illicit business with the North. Tillerson said Chinese cooperation so far has been uneven.
I don't want to suggest that they've come to the full conclusion, but I think it is clear that China now sees how destabilizing North Korea can be to the region. The last thing China wants is a war, another war in Korea. It will set their economic development back decades, and they know this. And so they have a huge incentive to not put us in a position to have to take military action to remove this threat.
Tillerson said the United States and China agree on the need for a denuclearized Korean peninsula. Tillerson and Defense Secretary Jim Mattis are to hold meetings with their Chinese counterparts next week in Washington. Tufts University Korea analyst Sung-Yoon Lee tells VOA's Victor Beatty he is skeptical of Chinese cooperation.
Over the past 20 years, various U.S. administrations have reached out to China and used basically just moral suasion. Please do the right thing. China, you are a responsible stakeholder. That was a jargon under the Bush administration. And President Obama did no better than the previous administration, sent the Secretary of State, Kerry, several times to China. But that kind of exhortation or even a bit of a warning, as the latest message out of Washington seems to be, doesn't really produce anything. To tell the Chinese, please do the right thing, otherwise we might do this, we might sanction Chinese entities, pretty much falls on deaf ears. You have to do it. You have to inflict financial losses, costs on Chinese state-owned enterprises and banks for the Chinese to be responsive.
Mr. Tillerson in his testimony also said the administration is mulling whether to impose a ban on all American travel to North Korea, given the recent developments with regard to the University of Virginia student Otto Warmbier.
Well, I think it's about time, actually. You know, personally speaking, I don't have much objection to various scholars, even students and ordinary tourists going to North Korea out of curiosity. Yes, you end up abetting, you end up putting money in the state coffers, but it's a small sum of money. And if you're able to do the right thing upon return to the U.S., telling the world about what a sham, Potemkin politicized front that the capital city is, how the North Koreans mistreat their own people and try to manipulate and deceive outsiders, fine. But the reality is, like Mr. Warmbier, like others, three other U.S. citizens still detained in North Korea, six South Korean citizens still detained in North Korea, North Korea just arbitrarily detains these people and mistreats them, often torturing them. So I think we have to take some measures and perhaps exclude NGOs providing humanitarian aid to North Korea from the travel ban, but there needs to be sort of a general travel ban for ordinary U.S. citizens.
Sung-Yoon Lee said if Warmbier was tortured while in captivity, it should come as no surprise. He recalled the sexual torture of Christian missionary Robert Park in 2009 and the brutal 11-month treatment of 82 Navy personnel of the spy ship USS Pueblo, captured in 1968. These are among some of the top Asia stories trending on voanews.com. North Korea treatment of U.S. student complicates outreach. Dennis Rodman gives Trump book to North Korean official. Thai local communities want their say in fighting pollution. Australian leader disappointed Trump parody became public. Swimming robot to probe damage at Japan nuclear plant. You'll find expanded coverage of these stories, and there's also much more, on Facebook at VOA Asia, and we invite you to visit our voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. Donkey poaching is on the rise in Africa, especially in South Africa, where poor South Africans say they've been forced to sell their precious donkeys at a loss or face having them stolen by poachers who are keen to satisfy growing demand for donkey parts from the Chinese market. VOA's Anita Powell reports from South Africa, where animal rights activists say the situation has escalated to the point where South African donkeys could be wiped out in 2 years.
Mpo Mashele's eight donkeys are her most precious possessions and her family's lifeline. They use them to transport goods in this small village north of South Africa's capital.
We love our donkeys because they're the only source of income. Without them, we will starve.
But her animals are under threat. Four were killed earlier this year, victims of China's voracious multi-million-dollar trade in donkey hides. Michelle's husband found their mutilated bodies in a neighboring village.
We found pieces of the donkeys. We recognized they were our donkeys because of a white patch on one of their foreheads, and the skins were gone.
South Africa's Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals has, in the last year, confiscated more than 1,000 hides headed for China, says Chief Inspector Mpo Mokwena. Often, she says, they are bludgeoned with hammers or skinned alive. Their hides are then boiled down and made into gelatin, which is believed to treat a variety of ailments. Their flesh is often left behind to rot. Mokwena says that if poaching continues at this rate, South Africa's donkeys will soon go extinct.
In 2 years, there will be no donkeys in South Africa.
Animal welfare activists say they're doing their best to protect these vulnerable creatures. The Highveld Horse Care Unit rescues and cares for threatened donkeys. Inspector Ashley Ness says the skin of a donkey like this one could fetch more than $500 in China. That demand, she says, has driven up the price of donkeys at livestock auctions. But kept alive, they can be used as beasts of burden, as therapy animals, or for their milk. And some, like Chili here, can become beloved companions.
They absolutely do have their own personalities. They really can form such a part of the family.
Activists are urging South Africa to follow the lead of other African nations like Burkina Faso and Niger and ban the trade of donkey parts.
A lot of the countries actually have banned the slaughter and trade of donkeys, which I believe is a lovely, great step in the right direction.
But will it come soon enough to protect these gentle beasts? Anita Powell, VOA News, Meyerton, South Africa.
Happening now in Asia, at least 7 people were killed and dozens injured in an explosion outside a kindergarten in eastern China as relatives were arriving to pick up students from school. It was not immediately clear whether the explosion was an accident or deliberate. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, there was a video that went viral on Chinese social media about a week ago, and it has generated quite a bit of conversation on Chinese social media. You may have seen it. A woman was crossing a busy street in Hunan province near a crosswalk, was hit by 2 vehicles and killed. But what has really stirred a lot of conversation is what happened around her. Harry Chen is an intern with us here at VOA Asia, and Harry has been monitoring social media in China. Harry, why don't you set up what happened in this video?
In the video, the woman was crossing the street. She was proceeding probably one-third into the crosswalk, and then she sank her head, so she was looking down on the ground. Mm-hmm. A second or two later, she was hit by a taxi. That was where the video really started, where people, I think there were at least a dozen people surrounding her. There was a high security camera high above the ground, mm-hmm. so they could capture the surrounding. Some people were actually going away from the scene, and others were just staring at her. And then, a few seconds later, people actually crossed the sidewalk where they were just literally watching her there, just maybe, 3-5 yards away.
Mm-hmm. On the ground.
Yeah, on the ground. And they didn't do anything. And about maybe 20 seconds later or 30 seconds, I'm not sure the exact time, there was another SUV drove by. That woman in the driver's seat actually struck her again. And that was more of a traumatic injury there. And she died in the hospital later.
And correct. What had a lot of users upset was the fact that nobody seemed to be helping this woman.
Yes. In China, traffic accidents are quite often. And there were cases, back in 2012, mm-hmm. A girl was struck and was now helped by close to 20 people who passed by her. The real reason here, a lot of people are questioning whether it's because China has had such a tremendous growth in economic prosperity and people were chasing materialism and were abandoning morals in that case. That was one argument. And the other argument was the low social trust that people have in the society, because there are cases where people would try to fake accidents and others would, be afraid to help them because they do not know what's going to happen if you send them to the hospital, whether the victim's relatives are going to come after you, questioning you were the perpetrator or the culprit, rather than you were actually the Good Samaritans in that case.
What were some of the other responses on social media? I guess you've been following Weibo.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. The top one I personally really like was this person said that those who care the most are always internet users, and those who care the least are always passersby. I wonder if it's because internet users never leave their home or because passersby never use internet.
Good question. Well, I'm sure not the last video to go viral on Weibo with something like this, but it did raise interesting social questions. Harry Chen, thank you so much for looking at those for us.
Thank you very much, Jim.
You're listening to VOA Asia.
For more on the stories you've heard on our radio programs, visit our website at voanews.com. That's where you'll find in-depth reports, related stories, videos, and more from our team of correspondents. Or take the news with you by downloading podcasts of your favorite VOA program. That's at voanews.com.
voanews.com.
Online news for a changing world.
This news alert from VOA Asia. Pakistan Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif testified before a Supreme Court-appointed panel investigating whether his family used illegal means to establish overseas wealth and property. The joint investigation team has already interrogated Sharif's 2 sons. Both have denied allegations of corruption and wrongdoing. The top stories and features are on VOA Asia Facebook. This is VOA Asia. VOA Asia continues. Thailand's industrial development faces fresh calls for greater local community participation in addressing the challenges of environmental pollution. especially as reports point to an escalation in the production of hazardous industrial pollution. The military government is now looking to expand industrial development to help boost the economy through 10 special economic zones throughout the country. Despite controls and legislation, local communities are concerned about increasing pollution. In its latest report, Thailand's Pollution Control Department estimates more than 37 million metric tons of industrial waste was generated nationwide in 2015, of which 2.8 million tons, or about 7.5% of the total, were hazardous industrial waste. Marek Sear is a chemistry researcher from the University of Chemistry and Technology in the Czech Republic. He says the studies indicated concerns over heavy metal pollution in areas near industrial plants.
There are real problems with mixture of heavy metals or with the mixture of pollutions. I think I was surprised mainly with the levels of heavy metals around recycling plants and smelting plants. That's the problem, that still there are toxic fumes released into the environment, and that's the easiest way how to spread the pollution of heavy metals, which are absorbed on solid particles, and they can diffuse into air and can be transported. So that's the problem, one of the problems.
Hazardous waste in Thailand, covering all waste from communities, industrial activities, and infectious waste, stood at 3.45 million tons. That's an increase of 28% from the previous year. The heavy metals examined in the study included arsenic, mercury, zinc, cadmium, chromium, and lead, along with organic contaminants and petroleum products, which medical authorities warn can be potential dangers to health. Thailand has more than 139,000 large and medium-sized industrial plants, both inside and outside industrial estates and parks, which number some 87 through the country. Greenpeace Thailand country director Tara Bokkamari said too often environmental policy depends on top-down decision-making, failing to address the pollution at the source. Tara says policy often compromises the environment to the benefit of industry and development.
It is a compromise situation, the compromise that benefit polluters, benefit irresponsible company that polluting the environment. And we can see that the result from toxic contamination in different region in Thailand.
He said communities have a right to know when pollution has occurred and the amount and toxicity to be able to respond and to seek solutions and treatments. The Pollution Control Department has set out a strategic plan calling for rules and regulation amendments, as well as strict enforcement of the laws. Our thanks to Ron Corbin in Bangkok for sending us this story. Developing at this hour in Asia, Pakistan aims to tighten security for the thousands of Chinese nationals working in the country after a Chinese couple was abducted and later allegedly killed by Islamic State. The incident raises safety concerns about major economic projects that Beijing has undertaken to benefit both countries. Every day you'll find news and features on VOA Asia Facebook. This is VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia. Ah yes, a cool and tasty soda almost always goes with any kind of food and provides a nice break on a warm day. But enjoying too many soft drinks can have a bad effect on your health. A study published this week in the New England Journal of Medicine says nearly one-third of all humans are now classified as overweight or obese. When it comes to childhood weight problems, the United States tops the list. 13% of U.S. kids are now classified as obese. VOA's Kevin Enix tells us that the city of Seattle, Washington, is taking what some consider a drastic measure to combat the problem.
The bill passes.
In a 7-1 vote, the Seattle City Council passed a tax that would put a 1.75 cent tax per ounce on all kinds of sugary drinks. Coke and Pepsi, sports drinks, energy drinks, nearly everything except diet sodas. Business owners say the tax is a killer.
Tax after tax is going to break us in half because small businesses are not going to survive.
But proponents say clearly there's a problem. In this week's news that a third of the world is overweight and 13% of U.S. kids are obese justifies the tax.
The public health officials documented really clearly for us these beverages kill. And so taxing them to try to reduce consumption, I think, is a solid public policy move.
And some doctors say the tax doesn't go far enough.
Sugary drinks are a negative product for children, and that we want essentially for children to drink zero of these beverages.
Part of the money raised by the tax will be used to help improve access to healthy food for kids in an effort to reduce what public health officials are calling a worldwide obesity pandemic. Kevin Enix, VOA News.
Fierce competition among car manufacturers requires constant searching for ways to cut expenses without compromising safety and other standards. One of the areas with room for improvement is in manufacturing of car bodies, which could be made lighter but still strong enough to protect passengers. VOA's George Pudich visited the National Institute for Science and Technology, or NIST, outside of Washington, where everything starts with new ways of testing sheet metal.
All cars sold in the United States must undergo rigorous testing for crashes. Parts that form car bodies are made of sheet metal, cut and shaped in special dies and welded together by robots. NIST researchers say those parts could be made lighter without compromising their strength if the testing of the material was more rigorous.
The testing the automotive companies does is fairly simple. Tensile tests, other sorts of things. We've developed next generation tests, more complicated tests, more realistic to simulate the behavior of the materials while they're being manufactured and while they're being used.
NIST is helping the U.S. automotive industry in choosing and using advanced, lightweight materials in their vehicles, saving them money and increasing fuel efficiency. In their automotive lightweighting lab, sheet metal samples are painted white and then lightly sprayed with black speckles.
We can deform the material in the center here in a very complicated way that the material might see in a die as it's being pulled and pushed into the making a fender or a hood. But we can also deform it, say if there's a weld in there or some kind of a corner, and see how this would behave in a more complicated sense.
High-resolution cameras measure how the speckles move while the sample is being stretched. This gives a lot more information than the old method of measuring only the stretch between two spots.
To give you an example of what they're looking for, if they believe that a material can be deformed to, let's say, 20% stretch, if it actually can be deformed to 22% stretch and they simply can't measure that, that's actually very, very important to them because that is worth millions of dollars to them that they can get a little more deformation out of a piece of material.
Scientists say since they developed the new testing machines, more and more manufacturers and their suppliers come to test not only metals, but also fiber-reinforced polymer composites. George Pudich, VOA News, Washington.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. We'd love to hear from you. There are a lot of ways you can get in touch with us. You can write to us on Facebook at VOA Asia or just send us an email at voaasia@voanews.com. We'd love to know how you're listening to our program, and when you do, there are many ways to get it, like iTunes and SoundCloud, where you can download it as a podcast and take VOA Asia wherever you go. We're also, of course, at our own website, voanews.com, where we stream our program daily, and you can download it there as well. We'd also like to say a special hello to everyone listening at Helps Radio at Help University in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. Thank you so much for joining us today. Our thanks, too, to Director Tracy Carter, Engineer Aiden Utku, Managing Editor Diane Gao, Ali Ogden and David Byrd on our VOA Asia team. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. We hope you have a great day.